Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
You don't know that you're acting that way at the time. All you're doing is trying to advocate for yourself. But when you can look back, and for me, that's 25 years later, to say there were a whole number of ways you could have responded. But to walk in and just hold your own and tell this person, you have to fix this. This is a problem.
Today's guest is Christina Holloway, an executive coach and leadership strategist. Christina shares a pivotal career moment that taught her invaluable lessons about maintaining power during uncertainty, staying solution-focused when emotions run high, and advocating for yourself when systems fail. She opens up about her journey from unexpected career disruption to building a thriving business, revealing insights about resilience, self-advocacy, and the critical role of community in business growth. We explore how to negotiate from a position of strength, even when you feel vulnerable, why trusted peer relationships are essential for entrepreneurs, and how to avoid getting stuck in endless to-do lists that prevent real progress. Christina also discusses the importance of staying true to yourself while navigating challenging workplace dynamics and career transitions. Whether you're facing a professional setback or building a business of one, this episode offers practical wisdom for finding your path forward with authenticity and power. Now let's welcome Christina Holloway. Christina is an executive coach and leadership strategist known for helping professionals build influence, communicate with confidence, and advance without losing themselves in toxic or high-pressure workplaces. She has coached leaders across major global companies, and her insights have been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, and HuffPost. Through her YouTube channel and workshops, Christina gives practical tools for career clarity, courageous communication, and stepping into leadership with authenticity and power. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. So, Christina, you've been a corporate refugee since 2001.
Yes. Thank you for putting it that way.
Yes. And you and I had a chance to chat before this. And you have a great story about your career journey. And I just would love to hear you share that.
I would love to. So I'm going to try to start at the very beginning. I was in the process of, I had been working at a really great company and loved the work that I was doing, but really wanted to move into a different department, which was my ulterior motive all along. And in the process, the company was merging or had already merged. They were going to change their name. They were going to go from a partnership to a corporation with shareholders. And they were going through massive layoffs. We tried to negotiate my transfer so that the new team could put me on as a headcount. And one day I showed up to work. I got into the building, logged into my computer. Certain systems weren't working and people were saying in the background, oh, I think the systems are down. I thought, okay. So I was there all day, just did my work offline. And by 4 o'clock, a friend called me and said, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And I said, well, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, the systems are down. She said, no. She said, this is a friend said, you're in the system as being terminated as of yesterday. And I said, well, I'm in the office today. So
oops, nobody told me.
No one told me. No one said a word to me. So I called, I think I called the phone, I called the tech support and was like, why don't I have access? And they were like, we don't know. And they said, you should probably talk to this HR. So I got up and went around the corner and the guy in HR made a face like, oh no, here she comes. And I walked in there and I said, do you have something you need to tell me? And I will say here that if it had happened any other way, I think that I would have reacted the same way most people do, which would have been shocked and disappointed. And maybe I would have been so upset that I cried and that this was just not expected. But layoffs were happening. Other people were being let go in crazy ways. And for my friend to call me, I thought, oh no, here comes my turn. And when I walked in there, there was just something inside of me that said, this is not how you treat people. So I just went in there and he said, well, we wanted to transfer you over. The plan was to get you over. It appears that the other team didn't care and just let you go. So I said, fix this. And I think that's when we have to remember our moments of empowerment, that you don't know that you're acting that way at the time. All you're doing is trying to advocate for yourself. But when you can look back, and for me, that's 25 years later, to say there were a whole number of ways you could have responded, but to walk in and just hold your own and tell this person, you have to fix this. This is a problem. So, and I said, I worked here all day, and I anchored to everything, to that conversation. I worked here all day. You people let me into this building and I don't have to leave just now unless you escort me out. And he said, don't worry, we'll fix it, you know. So he had a plan actually for me to come back. I was supposed to leave. I was already taking a trip and I was going to come back in 2 weeks. He said, in 2 weeks, we'll have you reset up as a contractor. You come back that way. And I heard my boss on the phone yelling at him saying, if I have to pay her out of my own pocket, I will write her a check. And she said, I can't believe this happened. What a mess. And pretty sure she used some four-letter words. So everyone was annoyed and mad. And so I went away. I went on a trip with my parents that was planned to go. And when I came back, I had a new email address. I'd been input into the system a different way. And they had set me up for a severance package. And then he said, we have all these projects that we still wanted you to work on anyway. Again, that's another moment where you say to yourself, I'm just going to do this for these 2 weeks, because my parents were like, that's asinine, just go find another job. But this was July 2000, which was 2001, July 2001, 2 months before, 6 weeks before September 11, which nobody really knew was going to happen. And here we were. I signed up for it. I said, I'll do this for a few months. I'll get my pay. They're going to pay me enough to cover some of these expenses. I'm going to make up some of this money. And then September 11 happened. And so they were like, you should probably just stay here and work as a contractor. And I thought, well, okay, because there was a lot of uncertainty and there were more layoffs. People were just starting to shed employees at a number of companies. So you think that it's a temporary situation, but then they just kept giving me more and more until I ended up staying there for another 13 years. So by then, the setup was really great. I remember that boss telling me in that moment, she said, you're not going to have an office in the building anymore. You're going to work from home. Here's the computer. Here's all the equipment. Here's a phone line. Here's everything that you're going to need. And she said, if you can make this work, you're going to be very successful. She said, just see if you can make working from home work in 2001. And I said, well, all right, I'll figure this out. Right. And so I set a lot of rules for myself. No TV during the day, can't listen to radio. And she said, you can go on your appointments. No one's going to check in and say, where are you? You're supposed to be working from 8 to 5. So I had a lot of flexibility. And once that happened, I figured out, you know, how to work effectively for my own clock. So I was usually an afternoon person. I got my best creativity in the afternoon. I handed stuff in at the end of the day. And the next morning, they'd come back with feedback. Turned out to be a nice setup. But yeah, that initial being let go was really challenging. And also you go through it thinking, well, okay, I'll just take it one day at a time or 1 hour at a time and just figure out solutions in the short term until we can get into a new normal. But in hindsight, it worked out. But I think a lot about should you have chosen to just try to find a new job, just take the money and leave. And yeah, that would have been a very different path. So I like what I'm doing now, though. It worked out.
Yeah. So, Christina, what did you learn about how to prepare for and respond to a crisis?
Oh, you got to stay calm. You have to stay calm and you have to keep your wits about you. And you should really think about how you respond in the moment. So the one thing I didn't do was walk in there and say, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. How could you have done this to me? Right. I didn't make it personal. I said, what solutions are we going to have here? How are we going to fix this? Because there is a big problem. And the big problem was that I was sitting inside an office and they weren't supposed to let me in. If my ID had been disconnected, they shouldn't have even let me into the building. So I remember this person saying to me at the time, here's all the paperwork, sign this. But in reality, with your situation, a lot of it wouldn't hold up in court if you actually ended up taking us to court. Because he said, this is an unusual circumstance. It's very, very strange. But I'm sure strange things happened. They were laying off hundreds of people at a time. And everybody at that time that I knew had very strange stories about how they were let go. But mine was quite bordered on illegal. So staying, you have to stay. I mean, when you start to realize that there is something extremely wrong, staying in the moment and trying to keep your head about you and not panicking while you ask someone in front of you, how are we going to solve this problem? Not what are you going to do for me? Is a little bit of a self-directed question, but we have a situation here. I happen to be involved in this situation. So we're going to have to fix this to my standards, which was, I'm going to get paid for being in work for a day when you weren't going to run payroll for me. And I'm not supposed to even be here. So, yeah.
Yeah. It also means that you had to take your own personal emotions, like the way that you, like most people would react to a job loss, it's pretty devastating. And you, here you are trying to take that common emotional reaction totally out of the equation so that you can maintain your power in these dialogues.
Yes, it's hard. And what happened was the week before, the girl next to me had been fired. She had been let go. I was supposed to have a meeting the hour after her with my boss, and then they canceled at the last minute. And I remember walking, because I was in Chicago, over the bridge by the Chicago River and calling my mom and crying outside, out of the building, and saying, I think they're going to fire me. And she said, you'll be okay. No, she said, you'll be okay. And I went back in. They didn't have the meeting with me. And I said, this is an emotional roller coaster. I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do if they got rid of the one woman. They kept me. No one's telling me anything. And then a week later, my friend was like, it looks like you didn't make it. It looks like your name is here and it's gone through the entire thing to be scrubbed and removed. And so then the problem was the highs and lows throughout that whole week. And then they finally do it and you're like, well, this is insulting. So instead of being, you know, really upset and crying, and it's possible I got my cry out earlier. It's possible I was preparing myself for this, but I really thought I had been saved. They even told me, don't worry, we have a position for you. We're all set and ready to go. So the problem was, and maybe to my advantage of taking the emotion out of it, was this felt like it had happened at me and not intentionally to me. So it felt like everybody was walking around with their arms like shrugging, saying, well, we don't know. This isn't what we wanted to happen. So it felt like all of us were victims, not just me, you know, maybe that was the mindset that helped me walk in and say, fix this, because none of us wanted this. So you have to fix it. And the only workaround they had was, that's okay. You can come back and we'll just pay you as a freelance person for the time being until we figure it out, which they dangled in front of me. We can always hire you back. And that in all the time that I was there, no one ever, ever offered me a full-time position to come back. It never materialized.
Right. But still, you had to maintain a lot of self-control in order to maintain your power in those critical moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Yeah.
You stay solution focused.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it is, right, you're also cognizant of what your audience wants, rather than what you want. And in your right, and everything you're saying to the HR person and to your boss is, what's the solution for them?
Right. That's negotiation. So exactly, we stepped into the situation saying, we're going to negotiate here for the best solution for all of us involved. And that included, a lot of it was a tip off too. When I heard my boss yelling, you're supposed to pay her, and if I have to write a check myself, I will. Knows that everyone was pissed off and they all were trying to figure out a fair solution, because this was deeply disturbing. It was wrong. So I had that going for me.
Yeah.
And I knew it at the time. I knew it.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm hearing in the story is how critical the relationship with your boss was in all this. Right. And how you maintained that relationship, used it to find a solution for the company that was also a solution for yourself.
Right. Yeah. I knew it too. When I went to negotiate my rate, I asked for a high number. I was kind of riding on the, oh, we screwed up. This is terrible. We owe you. And I was like, all right, well, then I'm going to, I did my research to find out what a fair rate was. And then I added a couple dollars to it and said, this is what I think would be fair for us to work on for the next few months until we figure this out. By then, we were negotiating in August. So in July, I found out this happened, July 15th. I remember these dates vividly. And then I came back at the end of August and we were negotiating rates and trying to figure out how to get me onboarded. And then in September, this happened. And so I kind of said, what if we just use this rate? She said, fine. And then she came back and took those couple of dollars off. But we were still, you anchor high. And then she negotiated from there, which was fine. And I ended up with a fair rate for quite a while. Also, I think they knew they were coming up with new programs. So they had a writer pool. They were coming up with all kinds of different ways to keep and maintain some contractor relationships. And she's like, we're just going to put you here for now. And we're going to figure all of this out. And I trusted them too. You have to know and understand who you're dealing with. And if they're, the sentences they're using and the way they're communicating is genuine, they seemed genuinely upset. She seemed genuinely to have a position for me. She did really like me. I had a great relationship with her. I had been working with her for 9 months in an interim. The new fiscal year started in September. All I had to do was hang on until September 1st. And by July 15th, which was only 6 weeks, they had found out that the other department had just cut me loose. That was, and I have a lot of videos on malignant narcissism as a boss. And that was that person. She was nuts. She was crazy. And she went out in a blaze of glory when they fired her too. She took everyone down.
So, Christina, thank you for sharing this in such vivid detail. So many years later, it's a really remarkable story. And I think many people can relate to this. You know, lots of people have these kinds of highs and lows in their career. And the fact that you were able to take control of the situation the way you did is really a testament to your own ability and character. And I'd love to hear how this story now relates to, fast forward to today, everything you've done since then and kind of what your business is all about today.
My business is all about standing in your power, not bending to what people demand from you or try to create that narrative about you, knowing full well that you do have some power, even in your smallest moments. In your smallest moments where things really are hard and you just don't feel like there's a path forward, you have something, you have some power. You just have to figure it out. You know, you just have to figure it out. And power does come from walking away. The only solution isn't pushing back. There are plenty of other solutions that help you stay empowered. And that includes advocating for your own well-being. But I went into finally transferring into a different department. I had an executive director who desperately needed help. I ended up being her right hand, which would have been the chief of staff position. I worked for her for 8 years. I was a freelance person for 13 years. I worked at that company for 5 years. So for 18 years total, I actually worked there as a fully full-time person working and contributing to that business, even though things didn't work out within by year five, right? As a chief of staff, I ran her full department. I took care of her operations and her finances. I made sure all her reports were done. And when she came to, I have a vision and I'd like you to help me carry it out, I said, just tell me when and where and we'll make sure it happens. And so she ended up being a benchmark example of what a fully run department could look like. She had a very large budget, a very large team, and we made it work. It was a well-oiled machine. After that, in that time, I think I carried the wounds of being unceremoniously let go to the point that as a freelance person, I constantly felt like I was underpaid and undervalued. I think that in that time, I would strategically ask for more money and raise my rates. And I would also charge them late fees if they didn't pay me on time. I felt like that was small because I was a small little contractor person, but they would pay them. They were like, yeah, you're right. We were wrong. And I felt like that was okay. That was okay for me to speak up for myself and say, you just can't do this. There are people depending on paying their bills when they're supposed to get money from companies like you. They changed their procurement procedures eventually when enough people complained. And then from there, I helped a lot of people get promoted and I helped a lot of people get into departments and jobs that were really better suited for them. So once I started realizing that I was pretty good at making sure people ended up in jobs that were fulfilling. They ended up doing better work and the department ended up succeeding even more so when people were feeling engaged and motivated. Once I left, like everything changed. They retired. The department changed. They were going to get different people running it. And I didn't really see a space for myself anymore. I happened to go into the bookstore at the university that was across the street and it said introduction to coaching. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I don't know what that means. Executive coaching. I didn't even think I still have the book. And I bought it and I read it and I thought, well, I didn't know that this was a thing and that it's possible I had been doing it near the end quite a bit. People were asking me for a lot of advice. So I went and got my certification. I realized too, once I bought the book, once I looked at the certifications, once I went and got the certification, the line of success that happened from that moment is very tangible. You can see it. I bought this book. I looked online. I found this training program. I went there. It was phenomenally rewarding. A person there said, I think you'd be great for this company that's hiring coaches. I interviewed with them immediately and they hired me. They hired me. And I've been there ever since. It's been 10 years that I've been working with an agency that's been helping me get corporate clients. And in the interim, I started to develop my own brand. Who am I? How am I trying to help people? What am I trying to do? It has been 10 years of me experimenting, failing, succeeding somewhere, and figuring out what is your message and who are you trying to help. But in all of that training and all of that work and hours of coaching, I started to find the same people as me. I'm really frustrated. I feel stuck. I don't know who's advocating for me. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I'm getting a lot of feedback that doesn't seem consistent with the way that I operate. And that felt, it resonated with me. So anybody who comes to me with that situation, I'm like, here's how we're going to deal with that. And it works.
Yeah, Christina, as you have gone through these transformations in your career and in your business, how have community collaboration and peer support played a role in your growth?
This is incredibly important. Working in a silo is really not helpful. And I can attest to that as well. You do feel alone. I won't say that I'm like a small business that feels isolated. I'm still a business of one right now. And if you're constantly building lists and saying, these are the things I need to do without knowing that those things are actually going to move you forward, you end up spiraling in circles for a long time. So if you don't have somebody that you can talk to or someone else who's also building a business, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't need to be the same as yours, who you can walk in and say, this is my list, and they'll tell you this is my list, and you compare it and say, I'm not really building the way this guy's building, it's going to be very hard to be successful. I realized, well, masterminds are helpful, group calls, touch points. I have one today with a friend who's like, I think we should start back on our weekly calls or our monthly calls just to stay on track, accountability calls. All of it is bouncing ideas with other people who are similarly in your situation and saying, here's what I'm doing. What are you doing? January is a wonderful time to build your goals and your strategic vision, and then to bounce it off of other people and say, how are you doing this? And then just have really open conversations. Community, especially if you're new to this, finding other people who are also doing it and asking, how can we kind of talk about the things that we're dealing with and how we're moving forward is enormously helpful. You don't have to ask for help, but you can say, if you were dealing with this, how would you do it, right? Because sometimes we don't want to ask for help, or we don't want to burden other people, or we don't want to lay out everything before we get it to work. And that part's hard too. Should I keep things close to the vest? Should I start announcing to people? Work with a select group of experts that you trust, and that you, having trust with certain individuals is going to be the overwhelming theme of the work that I did. The people that I trusted the most with my information and my process and even my solutions were the ones who helped me progress the furthest. So find your trusted group of friends or colleagues and make sure that you're staying in touch with them and bouncing ideas off of them so that you don't stay stuck in your to-do list, because that, I think, is the number one factor that prevents growth, personally.
Yeah, I agree with you. Staying stuck in your to-do list, it feels like a drag, and it is a drag.
Yeah.
And yes, finding trusted people is really critical. Yeah, the visioning process in January can be very helpful. It's something we do in the Smashing the Plateau community. And for the people mm-hmm. who participate, it's really powerful. And at the end of the year, they look at what they had written in January as they prepare to revise it or create a new vision statement for the next January. So yeah, mm-hmm. it is very helpful. It's a good time of year to do it. Christina, is there anything else you wanted to mention that we haven't discussed before we close out?
Stay inspired, stay motivated, and stay true to yourself. That's the best way for you to find a path forward. And if you're really struggling with who am I as myself, just know that that's okay and you're not alone. A lot of people do that a lot. And that's growth. If you're struggling with who you are, that's growth. Try to find a new definition of who you are and step into it slowly so that it's not overwhelming.
Well said. Christina, if someone wants to go deeper with anything that we've discussed today, access any of the resources that you have or get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
My website, which I'm going to launch the upgraded version today, is christinaholloway.com. And then I have a YouTube channel and it's just called Christina Holloway. And of course, the best way to stay in touch with me is on LinkedIn. I'm also Christina Holloway. They're all equally branded.
Sounds great. Christina, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. Thank you for sharing your story with such detail. And it's been great to hear what you have to say. My guest today has been executive coach and leadership strategist, Christina Holloway. Thank you, Christina, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.